Harper Audio presents Fire on the Horizon, The Untold Story of the Gulf Oil Disaster by John Conrad and Tom Schroeder. Read for you by Sean Pratt, with an author's note read by John Conrad. The following dedication appears in the book. To the 11 and their loved ones.
Author's note, A Perilous Crossing. This is John Conrad. In the vast Southern Ocean, below the continental tips of South America and Africa, and above the ice of Antarctica, storms take complete loops around the Earth with no land to obstruct or diminish their force. Occasionally, one of these storms veers north to sandwich ships between high winds and land as they round the Cape of Good Hope. On April 19, 2010, my ship broke through just such a veering storm that had brought with it sheets of rain and gusts of hurricane-force wind. Fortunately, I was sailing on the drillship Deep Ocean Ascension, the latest, most expensive, and technologically advanced of British Petroleum, or BP's, fleet of exploratory drillships. Built in a post-Katrina world to handle the extremes of nature, up to 50-foot waves and winds of 115 miles per hour, with 54,000 horses of available power to propel 105,000 tons of equipment and steel. I had been with the ship since she was a collection of scattered parts in a Korean shipyard. I was serving as acting captain to a vessel that had yet to float. The only navigating I was responsible for at that point was maneuvering around construction delays and bottlenecks to ensure that she, and particularly her safety systems, were built to specification. Any foreseeable emergency that would visit the ship had been considered before construction had even begun. A new drilling rig is, if anything, a rig made wiser by the disasters of its predecessors. The prospect of fire is anticipated everywhere. The foam dispensers mounted above the accommodations, the deluge sprinklers, lockers filled with firefighting gear, and the rows upon rows of tall, thick canisters above the engine room that, through countless pipes within the rig, could blanket machinery spaces with more than 10,000 pounds of fire-snuffing CO2. No expense was spared for the safety of this $750 million vessel. Yet, danger remained. I had continued my training since graduating from SUNY Maritime College in 2000, and had spent nearly 10 years advancing my license to the highest level, Master Unlimited. But as the son of a fireman whose company, Rescue 3 of the Bronx, lost its crew on 9/11, I was aware that it's not the dangers you anticipate, but rather the unforeseen failures that most often give birth to catastrophe. And at sea and in the Gulf, when disaster strikes, there are no 911 services to call. This fact wasn't lost on my wife, Cindy. A mariner herself, she had navigated a large container ship stocked with ammunition and supplies through the combat zones of the Persian Gulf. She realized the danger of rounding the Cape of Good Hope was small compared with navigating waters mined with explosives. But life had changed with the birth of our children, Jack and Eleanor. I'd been spending longer stretches at our California home, and I had launched a blog and networking website for mariners that had diminished the financial imperative for me to spend long stretches at sea. And yet, here I was again. If anyone had told me 10 years earlier that I would come to love life offshore, I'd have laughed, but I had discovered a reality that few understand or appreciate. The offshore oil field is a magic place where people pit technology against nature to accomplish impossible tasks. It's a place that more often than not rewards hard work, intelligence, and determination, where degrees and resumes don't matter, where even a high school diploma is not necessary to lead divisions of men and women. So in 2009, I accepted an assignment with Pride International on the as-of-yet-unfinished Deep Ocean Ascension. Now, months later, in mid-April 2010, we were sailing through the storm near the Cape of Good Hope. The weather cleared as the storm passed, and the next day, April 20th, we awoke to clear skies and smooth seas. It was 5:30 in the morning when we had our first meeting, but back in our Houston headquarters, the time was 9:30 p.m. An hour passed, and I was in my office working on paperwork when Cameron Whitten, the ship's second officer, scrambled up the stairs with a confused look on his face. He had just been to the crew meeting where one of the guys, calling home after a late shift, got word of a blowout on a rig owned by the world's largest offshore drilling company, Transocean Limited, a rig named the Deepwater Horizon. I turned on my computer in disbelief. It had to be wrong. Google, CNN, and the rest of the online world made no mention of the event. Then I turned to my blog, G-Captain, and I saw it. A longtime reader, Captain Thad Fenley, was laying anchors for another Transocean rig just 10 miles away from the horizon, snapping pictures and posting the first public images of the rig in flames.